This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow
the
money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in for Mitch and Paul. They'll be back in here on the desk tomorrow. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Of course, this hour is brought to you by Better. If you think you know sports, go get paid for it at Better. Download the Better app today. Get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. Be sure and use that promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Now joining me here on the desk, Stephen Schlansky. And Stephen, you have been around this sportsbook here a lot over the last 3 years, as there has been a documentary getting filmed chronicling everything going on in the greatest sports betting contest in the world, Circa Survivor. It's been very, very fun to get to know the characters along the way with all of that. But man, we have got a very interesting scenario going on this year, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of like how this season played out when you think about it, because a record-setting number of entrants to begin with, over 18,000. And unlike last year, a vast majority of people really went pretty far. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really until week 12. I mean, up until week 12, we had 900 people left, which is still a considerable amount. So it was great. People stayed involved. People stayed active. We got to know a lot of people. We got to follow them through the first 12 weeks. And then Thanksgiving hit. And then we were down to, you know, from that 1 2-day span, we went from 900 to 49, which was, so really cleared the field out. Mm-hmm. And then we quickly went to 10. So now we've been down to 10 for a couple of weeks now. And we'll see what happens today. Certainly one has lost. But the way it played out, we got to know people. People stayed in longer. But now we're still down to the same, we'll be in single digits like we have in the past, 3 years.
Right.
Kind of always seems to get to that point. It goes there in different methods, but we've always seemed to get to the point where last 2-3 weeks of the season, you're down to single digits.
What is the attitude like and sort of the feeling of the people still left? Are they anxious? Are they worried? Are they glued to screens? I'm just so curious about the mindset of someone left in a contest right now.
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's what we love to try and get out of all the contestants. This is kind of why we do the documentary, to follow them through it, see how they, navigate the pathway. And then when it gets to this, the final 10, when each entry is worth $1.8 million, there's so much riding on it. And, they react differently. Some people, we've heard from people in the past who they just get so anxious. They lose sleep. That's all they can think about. They're obsessed with it. And other people are just like, they're hedging, they're monetizing already. So they're already feeling really great. So it's a much lighter approach. But it's interesting too, because when, we'll start to see more people come into Circa for the next 2 weeks who are still alive, they develop this camaraderie too, because they're all in it together, even though they're actually rooting against each other because, they're at odds when they choose the games, but they form this whole group. This is a camaraderie. We see it every year when they all come back mm-hmm. for the check ceremony and they come back with their jackets. It's like this badge of honor that they wear, that they carry through, all through each season.
Yeah, it's interesting. We saw some of the guys that got to know each other over the last couple of years actually end up forming a team and entering Grandissimo together, And so, like you said, it's weird how this contest, even though, yeah, I'm against you and I'm against you and I'm against you, you still do if you make it deep and you're still weirdly are kind of in it together,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you're going through the same emotions and no one else can really understand what you're going through unless you're actually going through it. And like the intensity of like saying, okay, I'm watching this game. I've got potentially $2 million riding on this game and you can, all you can do is sit and watch and hope for the best.
Are people willing to share with you their game theory and how they go about doing this? Or they try to keep that to themselves because that, obviously you're airing this after it's over,
right.
But just so maybe people in the future don't get an idea of how they're thinking.
No, people are pretty willing to share, and which is really interesting because you do get a lot of different strategies. You do see some players coming back who make deep runs year after year. And there's a lot of multitude of factors involved, but they seem to have, there's some individuals who really have some really good strategies who are able to at least get to the point where they're monetizing every year, even if they're not winning every year. But yeah, people are, they're pretty open about sharing.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting to, by the way, guys, the previous seasons of the documentary, you can go in, if you know how it all played out, you get to know these people, you can still go back and rewatch this thing and still kind of see the emotion and everything that gets involved with all of this and how these people, the ups and downs. And, you know, again, when I say downs, we were here, Stephen, in week 18 last year, not everybody won last year, you know, and that was the thing that it was brutal, because you've got groups of people lined up out here along the top rail, and we're watching one team celebrate and go crazy because they had just won and they knew they advanced all the way through, while literally one box over, they're watching their dream go down.
Yeah, it's incredible. And people do say, like, as disappointing as it is to get knocked out early, can you imagine going 19 out of 20 weeks or 18 out of 20 weeks and going that far and then getting knocked out? It's brutal. So hopefully at that point people are monetized, and so they at least feel good about, you know, coming away with something.
Yeah.
But it's brutal. And you exactly, last year you have everybody together and all these different factions, and one game ends, but another game starts, and there's so much money at stake. So if one team is knocked out, you know, we went from, in that very last week last year, we had 18 going into the final week and only 8 coming out. So more people lost out than came through.
What's something you learned about the process along the way that you did not expect to learn following all these Survivor contest entries?
Just the unpredictability. I mean, you obviously think that you know it on a rational level, but when you get in there, you never know what week is going to be the week of death, where you go from, where percentage-wise, you have 80% of the contestants knocked out in any single week. And it may not be something you see on the horizon. But then when you're in there, it's a strange effect. And we saw this on Thanksgiving. It's like once one underdog wins, and then the second one wins, and then the third one wins, you really feel like there's something going on that kind of catapults these underdogs to, like, more upsets happening than the favorites happening. So it's this indescribable thing, but you see that in certain weeks, you get multitude of upsets, and then you knock out, you can have quiet weeks, 3 quiet weeks in a row, then all of a sudden, one week, bam, 80% of the pool is gone in that single week.
We're sitting here, of course, we have a lot of people sweating the game that's going on right now. 4 of the entries on the Vikings as they just recover a fumble here, and are already in the scoring area here. So at least in field goal range, as Jared Goff fumbles the snap, but 4 very interested people, Stephen, in this one. As we know, we did have 6 of the 10 on the early game, 5 advance, 1 goes down, 1.87 million back into the pot with this one. And then 4 here sweating out this afternoon game. We could leave with 9 live entries today. We could leave with 5 live entries today.
Yeah, this is really interesting. Going into this week and even looking at this, when we were down to 10, we knew that only five of the 10 had Dallas available. And then we assumed the other 5 were going to be on Washington. No one was really looking at the Vikings at that point. So we assumed it's going to cut the pool in half no matter what happens. But that may not be the case, because 4 of the 5 who didn't have Dallas are on Vikings. If the Vikings win, then yeah, we get 9 out of the 10 go through. We didn't predict that, but that would be pretty remarkable.
How much does the book benefit from running this contest? Now, obviously, you know, there's a pool, people making money, but just the publicity, the excitement, the enjoyment that we have watching this contest, how important is it for Circa to run this every year?
I mean, it's been this great contest that Circa puts on. Jeff Benson this morning was saying that it really, you know, it puts Circa Sports on the map in a lot of ways. And Circa Sports is now very well known for these contests. They have taken them to a level that nobody ever anticipated. So it's really put Circa Sports on the map in a lot of ways. And it's great for the hotel casino, because you get people coming in, you get a lot more interest. It's turned, you know, what typically is a very sleepy month of August into a very popular month, because everybody comes here to sign up in person. So I think it's been a huge success. If you were to ask the Circa team, it's been an enormous success, even though there's no rake. It's all the money goes back to the players, to the contestants.
talking to Steven Schlansky. Of course, he's the executive producer of the Circus Survivor, The Quest 4. We can insert the money amount every single year. And that's kind of where I leave with this last question here, Steven. We get up to $18.7 million this year. Obviously, when that gets out, we release the doc and people watch that and they go, wait, I can turn $1,000 into X million, stuff like that. Where do you think we end up when it is all said and done here? I mean, I think that we're looking at, could we get to 20 million? Could there be a $20 million prize pool?
I'd be surprised if we don't. I mean, don't you think? I mean, look at the last 2 years. 2 years ago, it was at 9.2. Last year, it was at 14.2. This year, it's at 18.7. So it's more than doubled in 2 years. Now, I don't know if it's going to more than double again because, it's going to slow down. But yeah, 20 is definitely within sight. 20 is very attainable, in my opinion.
And we kind of look at this, and again, this is with people still having to show up in person in Nevada. And so who knows where gaming laws are in 5 years, 10 years or something like that, and where this thing could really, really blast off too, for sure. But again, previous seasons are available out there. Go in, take a look, see what it's all about. Some of the characters that you get to know are pretty interesting, pretty interesting dudes. I've actually kept in touch with a few of them, through all of this. It's super, super fun. And again, we have just 10 entries left going for, well, I should say 9 entries left now going for $18.7 million. 5 are through, 4 are pending, and 4 are very, very happy right now as the Vikings get into the end zone first on the Lions in this one. Steven, appreciate the time, buddy.
My pleasure.
Guys, when we come back, going to be joined on the desk by Jeff Benson. We'll see what's going on behind the book this week at Circa.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in for Mitch and Paul as we roll along here on Christmas Day, following along with these pretty interesting NFL games. I don't think that we thought the early game was going to be as close as it was. And here we are, 7-0 in favor of the Vikings over the Lions. And kind enough to join me here on the desk is Jeff Benson, head of operations here at Circa Sports. Jeff, and we kind of said, just looked at each other and smiled. You're like, hey, it's tough to win in the NFL.
I mean, if it wasn't for the Circa Survivor contest, I'm not sure any of the games today would have much meaning. But it's obviously it's really tough to win in the NFL. And I think when you look at the games today and you kind of rewind a few weeks to the Thanksgiving holiday. When you throw in the holiday weeks and you got to make 20 picks in Circus Survivor, it certainly makes things pretty tough. And then when you add in the fact that, teams are going to have to use underdogs and you got, not even backup quarterbacks, right. third string quarterbacks, and most teams not playing for anything, it makes it particularly difficult.
On a holiday like today, do you still see the same handle for these contests? Not these contests. I mean, for the games, not the contest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Thanksgiving, the games were a lot better. So I think the handle was, probably a little bit better for that. Today we've taken a few, 7-figure hedges. So that certainly helps handle. But, when you got, 3 games where it's north of a touchdown favorite, you probably don't see as much as you would if they were maybe a little bit more competitive or if, both teams had something at stake.
So coming in, did you expect more people to be heads up with the Cowboys than just the one entry, or did you expect there to be more people going with the Vikings? I guess I thought there was always going to be at least a couple that took the Vikings. I thought maybe there'd be a couple who just from a game theory standpoint say, hey, if the Cowboys lose, it's going to be 5 down and I'm on the other side of that one. Were you surprised it was only one, or was that about what you were thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have thought something very differently a week ago, you know, if Mariota was playing and things like that. But the number just got steamed. And I think, you know, for people looking to hedge, you know, having to lay minus 440, minus 450 on the Cowboys versus, you know, something that was probably a dollar cheaper on the Vikings may have had something to do with it. Also, not necessarily being the first game of the day might have something to do with it. You know, kind of so that you have a better understanding of what happened in the early slate. And then, you know, obviously, like I said, just the difference in the money line, I think, you know, pushed, you know, quite a few people over. Obviously, if you're taking the Commanders, you know that you are eliminating five entries on the other side. So there's a lot that goes into that. You know, I think when you look at, you know, where everything kind of, you know, landed, you know, to island yourself on the Commanders, you know, from a EV perspective, I think certainly worked out well. Obviously, they didn't get the job done, but, you know, if they were a little bit more efficient in the red zone, you know, maybe that game is a bit closer than what it, you know, ultimately ended. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here with Detroit and Minnesota. But yeah, I think obviously there were a lot of people that pivoted from Commanders over to the Vikings, you know, once that, you know, line got bet out to 9.5, you know, touched 10 in some places versus the 7, 7.5 that you saw in the other game.
I asked Steven this question. I'd like to get your answer on this as well. Like, how important is this contest to your sportsbook's growth, to the identity of what you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, at least early on really helped put us on the map. You know, when we opened in 2019, you know, Derek came to Matt Metcalf and Chris Bennett, myself, and the rest of our guys and said, you know, create, you know, a couple of football contests that can really help put Circa Sports on the map. And I think, you know, with where we've gone and the growth of this contest and VSiN and, you know, the docuseries and things like that, contest has really taken on a life of its own. So I think you can make a lot of parallels to the growth in the World Series of Poker, the moneymaker effect, things like that. But yeah, I mean, it's really been helpful for us. It's legitimized us. It's helped, you know, give us a lot of credit. And you know, it really gets people through the doors. And then, you know, when you get to the, you know, last few weeks of the season, having people come in, you know, open seven-figure credit lines and, you know, us ultimately taking hedge bets that we want and things like that is, you know, there's a lot of good benefits, a lot of free marketing. You know, that's not to say that there's not, you know, a pretty big cost in terms of labor and all that kind of stuff in terms of running the contest. But the benefits have, you know, far outweighed that stuff.
Talking to Jeff Benson, head of operations here at Circa Sports. Jeff, we got one more game today. Has anybody been willing to back the Chiefs in this thing? Just seems like dead team walking out there.
Been a one-way train. I think Sunday night opened up maybe 12, 12.5. You know, obviously it's at one point we got up to, you know, 14.5, or excuse me, 14 reduced before we took a Chiefs bet there. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when you think about McDuffie, Jalen Watson, no Tyquan Thornton, no Rashee Rice, I mean, it's just a litany of injuries. I mean, they're effectively fielding, you know, a preseason team. You know, anybody that was hurt or had an ailment, they're not playing. So Broncos obviously have a lot at stake. It's a divisional matchup, so, you know, things could happen, but, you know, no Circa Survivor interest here. But in terms of, you know, the betting, like I said, the next bet we take on the Broncos will be the first, is kind of how I would coin that.
The Chiefs couldn't score with Patrick Mahomes. Now they have a quarterback. We had to look up where he played college, and they signed Shane Butchel as well. I mean, I don't know if they score much tonight at all. So I would imagine that that everyone, like myself, I'm on the Broncos too. I got it 12 as well. I just think that just the Chiefs are dead. I'm a Chiefs fan, so maybe I'm too much about the team.
Yeah, I laid some 12.5 or -05 or early on Sunday night, but yeah, I mean, it's I will say it seems like the Chiefs get bet hard at post every single week. Obviously, that was with Mahomes under center. We'll see if that happens with Chris Olakin this evening.
So funny. I see my screen lighting up here, so I look over and see Lamar Jackson listed as doubtful. So you guys have now moved to 4.5 there on that one. So somebody was waiting for that information to come through to fire on that thing.
Yeah, I don't know what the Packers availability is for Circa Survivor, but maybe that game just got into play. Obviously, you know, if the Packers win in that spot, it you know, certainly makes the Steelers-Browns game less appealing.
Lions fumbled again, by the way. So the Vikings have the ball again, up 7-0. It makes it more interesting. Quick question. I told you the Vikings was the team today. I thought they could pull the upset. College football playoff is in a couple of days. Where are you seeing some of the early money on some of the four games?
Yeah, I haven't focused a ton on college football, but off the top of my head, Ohio State has certainly been bet. I think that's in terms of where we opened, maybe 8.5, 9. I think that was the biggest game that we saw bets on early in terms of the favorite. You know, these games, you know, obviously are coming up in 4 or 5 days. So we won't see the majority of the money until day of or shortly beforehand. And, you know, with the Christmas holiday, we haven't seen a ton up to this point. I think it'll be interesting. I think you got four good games. It's nice when you get past the first round, where you have 20 and 17 point spreads, and the competitiveness of the games can, certainly be questioned.
Jeff, you guys being one of the kind of sharper books out there and taking bigger bets and things like that, have you seen, now that you guys are in multiple jurisdictions, have you seen any more local bias at all? Or do you still think it's mostly people just who know what they're doing placing these bets?
No, I mean, our limits are so high that, we don't really have the ability to shade a point here or there based on regional bias. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense for us. And, you know, when the numbers are so tight and efficient, half a point here, half a point there, you know, certainly matters, particularly when you're taking, you know, five, sometimes six figures on these games. So for us, we don't really shade, not necessarily like the neighborhood bookie in New York or Philadelphia or something like that.
Is there a result for the NFL this weekend you guys are rooting for?
Today, we had some hedging on the Lions. So I would say the Vikings outright wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. And then obviously when you think about the night game tonight, if the Chiefs were somehow to win, that'd probably bust a lot of parlays, money line parlays and teasers. I think obviously we will see the bulk of the Saturday and Sunday money day of. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for anything, most sports books rooting dog and under. And we're never not in that spot as well.
Well, sitting 7-0 right now in favor of the Vikings. They have the ball. So again, if this does play out, that would mean 9 would move on here. 2 more weeks to make picks. Do all 9 make it through? How do you feel about this? Are we getting optimistic that we're not going to be just 5 after this week?
I still think Detroit gets it done in this spot, and then you have 5 going into week 17B, and then obviously have week 18. So, you know, if Detroit gets through, you know, the number Derek and I were just talking about is 2.5.
All right. So here we go, guys. It is, again, 4 entries here on the Vikings. We'll see how many make it through. Jeff Benson, he is head of operations here at Circus Sports, the greatest place in the world to watch sports out here behind me. And of course, you can, he's always willing to interact with you on the Twitter machine. So go ahead, give him a follow. And, any little snarky comment, I'm sure he'll just let it go. Don't worry at all. Jeff, appreciate the time, buddy.
Merry Christmas, guys.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt and Jeff in for Mitch and Paul. Don't worry, they'll be back on the desk here tomorrow. Jeff, the big news as we were on with Jeff Benson is Lamar listed as doubtful, and so this line is on the move. I watched it go from 3.5 to 4.5 at Circa. It is now 5.5 at Circa out here right now in favor of Green Bay. So the money is pouring in on the Packers, who again win an in situation for them. It'll be Snoop Huntley going for the Ravens.
I mean, isn't this something that you should have waged on earlier? Like, the number was telling you that Lamar wasn't going to play, right? Or at least it was hinting at what he was going to play. He has a back into it. He hasn't practiced all week. Like, this felt like something you should have jumped on much earlier if you wanted the Packers. Now, they're going to get up to teaser territory. They're going to get to, like, 6.5 probably, right? I would imagine. Yeah. I assume at 7 we'll have some Ravens. I wouldn't buy Ravens at 7. Ravens are dead, man. They're absolutely dead. Now, the question is, though, does this affect another game on Sunday, which is the Browns-Steelers game? So I got the Browns at 4.5. I just thought it's a spot for Cleveland off the Steelers' big win last weekend. But if if Baltimore loses, the Steelers win the division. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's over. So that obviously would affect, I think, Sunday's game too. So if you like the Browns, I don't think threes will be there anymore if the Steelers don't have to win this game, right? They could just rest and maybe just not take this game as seriously as they need to. So that, you know, the Ravens losing will affect other things down the line here, including Pittsburgh and Cleveland most likely.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, very, very, very correlated situations here with this one. And like you said, I think that the writing was on the wall in this. And earlier in the week, you could have gotten a 2.5 on this thing for a brief minute, because it was, you know, Jordan Love's in the protocol. And then you had the shoulder injury with Malik Wilson. By the way, they're both listed as questionable. So, I mean, it is not for sure that either one of them are going to
practice,
but they both practice. Yes. So, I mean, it is, they are both listed as questionable here in this one. And I mean, it seemed like the writing was on the wall to me that Lamar, who was not able to come back into the game this past week, wasn't practicing in a shorter week. I mean, not short week, but shorter week, considering it was a Saturday game, that he was not going to be able to go here in this one. And like we said, this has now moved 2 full points just in the last 10 minutes out to 5.5 at the book out here behind me. And again, they take the biggest bets around. So there's some serious money getting laid here on Green Bay, who, as we've talked about multiple times, if they win, they are in, they will get into the playoffs. And so this is, I understand the move. I understand everyone betting it. Yeah. I understand what's going on here. But yeah, it seems like, Jeff, this is probably going to be one way all the way to 6, 6.5 before anybody even tries to sniff Baltimore again.
Yeah. The Ravens, interesting thing about the Ravens right now, obviously, is the Lamar Jackson, you know, and surrounding topics, right? Because, you know, obviously the Ravens wanted that information to get out, that got out yesterday, about his study habits, his sleep habits, his video game habits. I mean, they wanted to make this ugly, right? They didn't have to, but they wanted to get this out there to give Lamar a wake-up call, to let people know it's not their fault. I mean, there's many reasons why they would get this out there. But the fact is, it feels like it's getting pretty ugly right now between the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I think a change will be made to their quarterback, or it most likely will be a head coach, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things, we briefly mentioned it yesterday here on the network, Jeff, but it is worth kind of bringing up. I mean, he has no guaranteed money left in this deal. And so, I mean, they got to do something with him in the offseason. Now, as you know, I mean, I think it's a very long shot that they trade him, but they could trade him. I mean, it's not like the craziest thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's easier to get rid of the coach than the quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Just from a practical perspective, right? Like, so if you trade Lamar, you're trading a two-time MVP, right? In a year that's not a great quarterback year in the draft. There's never free agent quarterbacks. Are you trading for Tua? Like, that's what we're doing. We're trading for Tua. Like, or Kyler Murray. No, you just, why would you get rid of Lamar for those guys? You absolutely not, right? So what you do is you get rid of John Harbaugh. Things just, they eventually fizzle out, which happens all the time. And you bring in young offensive coach, maybe relates better to Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. You run the Shanahan McVay offense, which everyone else does, that has easy yards, easy answers, and you just transition to a different type of offense in Baltimore, with the offensive line not being as good anymore, or the defense probably not being as good as they used to be. That's the easy fix, right? The tough fix is trading Lamar away, keeping Harbaugh, and then also Harbaugh has to agree to want to rebuild, right? I mean, you can't just say you want to. He's got to agree to want to do it. So we'll see. Obviously, Jared Goff's turning into Patrick Mahomes on this drive. Jeez, look at this guy. He's scrambling around, throwing the ball 25 yards downfield. It's so funny because, you know, Jared Goff is faster than any of us, but he's like, just in a football fit, he looks slow as can be. So to me, the divorce is much easier from the coaching perspective than it is the player.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand. I guess the question just becomes, like you said, is what is the process and what does this franchise feel like they are moving forward, right? I mean, because Derrick Henry, look, he lasted way longer than most running backs do. He's lost a step finally, you know, and a lot of the time, once they lose that one step, Jeff, running backs just kind of fall off a cliff, and it seems like maybe we might be on that cliff with Derrick Henry, Lamar, if he's not going to be able to be as mobile, are you confident in him being more of a pocket passer? His numbers actually aren't terrible in the, from the pocket. You know, it's just like, it does take away the element of what makes Lamar so special is his legs and stuff. And then, you know, again, as you mentioned, there's stuff they got to fix on the defensive side. There's stuff they got to fix on from a weapon side as well. I mean, they just don't, they don't have a true number one receiver. That's another big problem with a lot of these teams out there that you don't have. I mean, you could say the same thing about the Chiefs this past year. If you don't have a true number one receiver, it seems like in the NFL today, you're kind of put yourself behind the eight ball. So lots of stuff, lots of questions there. But again, he is doubtful, which means out. Doubtful means out. And so this has moved again to 5.5 in favor of Green Bay. Real quick on the NBA side of things, Spurs did close it out there, Jeff. 117-102, 15-point win for the Spurs on the road on Christmas Day in an island game. Wimby goes 19-11 again, still on that minutes restriction.
Yeah, dude, he's incredible. He is an incredible player, and obviously, you know, he can be the catalyst to getting the Spurs back to where they were under Duncan Robinson, all those guys, right? And now they've been OKC three times in the last 2 weeks. One of those was a cup game, sure, but they've had their number. The games, the last two have not been close. The first one was a 2-point win, but they haven't been close. And so, the numbers are going to move crazy, right, in the Spurs way. I mean, I think the Spurs, near the start of the year, were 45-1 to win the championship, maybe 40-1. So I can't imagine it's anywhere close to that now. So, not the time to jump on them unless you think that they're going to do it, which, again, I think you missed your window to get the best number.
Guys, if you think you know sports, time to get paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into real cash. Download the Better app. That is BETR. More or less on your favorite player stats. And if your picks hit, you win. $10 free right now just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do sign up, 50% deposit match up to $200. Got every single sport, NBA, WNBA, Major League Baseball, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go in. Head to better.app, that is BETR.APP, or download the Better app from the App Store or the Google Play Store. Use that promo code VSIN, VSIN, to claim your $10 and your deposit bonus. Better Picks, if you know sports, it's time to prove it. It is 7-0 in favor of Minnesota. That said, the Lions have gotten down into the red zone here in this one. So trailing by 7, went off as 7.5-point favorites here. Brosmer, I should say, 4 of 6 for just 13 yards so far. But Aaron Jones, you said you liked Aaron Jones today. He's already got 37 yards on the ground.
Yeah, look, their offense has been meh, but they've gotten the opportunity to, to have two possessions off fumble. I mean, look, Detroit's still minus 230 in the money line live, and they haven't scored a point yet, and it's almost a 2-minute warning. Like, that's how much better the Lions probably are in this game. But, you know, Jared Goff running for his life, though. A couple of these sacks and you get him down the ground, the game changes. I mean, he's made some incredible throws on third down on this drive. If you get to him in the second half, again, Minnesota, I think he'll keep this close the entire game.
We do have Penei Sewell down on the field currently.
Not good.
Teams are on a knee, so that's...
Let's see here. They're showing the replay. Oh, yeah, he broke his ankle.
Oh, really? Oh no!
If they're on a knee, probably. I mean, it's a sprained ankle at the minimum. I mean, I've done what he did. It's not fun. If that's what they didn't show. Did he get carted off? Did they show any of that? I wasn't paying attention.
No, I my feed is a little bit behind here, and they're showing the replay. So typically, when they show replays,
yeah, they showed the replay.
It's not
so
grotesque.
Yeah, it didn't look good,
but it didn't. Look
you
good.
Can't see it.
So
when I broke my leg like that, you couldn't see it. But I'm just kind of curious if he got carted off or not. We'll find out as we go here.
It'll be third and goal for the third and three here for the Lions inside of the red zone. We'll let you know if they can get a first down and or a touchdown. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Paul the Money here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in for Mitch and Paul here on Christmas Day. Happy holiday to you and yours out there. A very important challenge right now as Detroit gets right to the line to gain. It was given a first down. That said, Minnesota did go ahead and challenge the thing. So we will either have first down and goal from the 2-yard line, or we will have a turnover on downs, one of the two.
I think they got the call right. We often mock officials for getting things wrong. This looked like it was right. It was just over the 2-yard line. All that matters, the tip's over, first down, and looked like it was just over the 2-yard line. So there's not enough evidence to overturn it, put it like that as well. So that matters, right? You're supposed to have evidence to overturn the call on the field. That's indisputable video evidence, overturn the call on the field. I think we often lose sight that that's part of the review process, but it absolutely is.
Yeah, I mean, that's an obvious, and they're probably going to just do whatever they would have called on the field, right, Jeff? I mean, like, it's like if they said it was short, it probably stands as short, and if they said it was a first down, it probably is going to be a first down because it's just too close to call. I mean, it's literally just right there on the mark.
But I do think it was the right call.
Yeah, I do
so
too.
They end up being the right call, and the Lions get a first and goal at the 2. Probably would have been stuffed on the first time they went for it because they called timeout instead, or the whistle was blown. This one, I mean, very close. But you see right here, the ball is just right there over the 2-yard line. So right there. I think that's a good call on the field, and the Lions have the ball now first and goal at the 2 and the first handoff, and they get stuffed on the first play of the goal line series.
Jared Goff is 8 of 11 for 99 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. He's been sacked twice. Max Brosmer is 4 of 6 for 13 yards. He has thrown for 13 more yards than you and I today, Jeff.
Are there live defensive props, like specials? Like, I think there's going to be a lot more sacks of Jared Goff in the second half.
I mean, I'm sure there
have. They have sack totals for players. Turner and
it's just Redmond's player stuff there.
I mean, they've been close, man. They've been even closer than that. Like, they are very close to getting home and getting him on the ground a lot more than the numbers show right now.
I guess when you play a little for fun over on Justin Jefferson, it's good that he has 14 of Max Brosmer's 13 passing yards. So I guess that's pretty good. I mean, because
that's a rarity.
Yes,
that's a rarity.
He has 14 of Max Brosmer's 13 passing yards as Aaron Jones went for a -4 catch earlier. So you do have a guy that has more receiving yards than Brosmer actually has passing yards in this game. Aaron Jones, 10 for 37 and a touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs, 9 for 28. David Montgomery, 4 for 7, a whopping 1.8 per carry there for him. Amon-Ra continuing doing Amon-Ra things, 5 for 46 for him. Tislaw has 128-yard catch. James Williams has a 15-yard catch, and Jahmyr Gibbs has a 10-yard catch in this one. But again, 2 turnovers has this thing 7-0 in favor of the Vikings. And as we head over to DraftKings and take a look, just give you one example of a live line, 3.5 in favor of the Lions, 36.5 the total. So this thing is 10 points down from where we kicked off at. And if you think the Vikings actually hold on to win this thing, plus 190 on the money line.
Yeah, probably. So the peniso injury is not good. Looks like a minimum of sprained ankle, and they already have Taylor Decker out, right? So now you're down both your tackles. You had a pretty rough first half. The thing that if you want to back the Lions, obviously, like, the Vikings offense done nothing all game, right? Mm-hmm. Now they're going to get an opportunity here in the 2-minute drill, presumably to get something going. And maybe that jump starts them in the second half. Lions do get the ball out of the half as well. Something to note here, that middle eight is so important to winning and losing. Score a touchdown here, hold them, come back, score a touchdown, and you get 14-point swing very quickly. So something to note there if you want to look at the money line here.
Yeah, it is. I'll put it this way, guys. The offense can't be any worse for the Vikings. I mean, we've got 13 yards passing and like 40 yards rushing. So we've got like 50 some odd yards of offense so far for this team. So we would like to believe that it can only get better in the second half.
It can't get worse, right?
It can't get worse.
They could have 0 yards, negative yards. I mean, this is a game the Jets had like 3 yards passing through 3 quarters this year. Won that game.
There was that. Yeah. That one was absolutely unbelievable. All right. So while we're kind of waiting to see how this all plays out, Jeff, let's kind of continue to talk through some of these games that are going to be happening Saturday and Sunday. We do have Houston and the Chargers in a very, very important game. A point and a half, 2 points in favor of the Chargers at home over Houston. 39.5 is the total. Now, I say at home, no huge real home field advantage over there at SoFi for the Chargers. No. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's basically half Houston fans over there anyway. Easy flight from Houston over to LA. So I don't know why I have not put it in the account yet, but my gut keeps really telling me that this Houston defense makes life absolutely hell on this horrible offensive line for the Chargers, and they don't even have to do that much on offense to get this thing done. I think I'm going to have to put in a Texans ticket.
I like the under that covers it, right? In my book, yeah. Because you look at the situation with the Chargers offensive line, a problem all season. They navigated that pretty well, but this is a Texans defensive line that has two guys with double digit sacks, right? In Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. And so obviously that, you know, doesn't bode well for the Chargers offensive tackles that aren't very good. But also too, it would be different if the rest of the offensive line was good. It's not really. They might have the worst center in the NFL. So you have a bad center, two down offensive tackles, and then you have to obviously play this Texans defense that's outstanding. So that's my concern. Herbert's beat up, right? Mm-hmm. I think if you look at maybe Herbert rushing over, will be interesting to look in this game. You know, he might have to scramble and try to make plays with his legs, which he will often do in games like this. That number right now, by the way, is 23.5. The average is 30.7, it looks like, per game rushing. So that might be an angle to play here. On the flip side, the Texans offense, their offensive line is not good either. The Chargers defense has played really well lately. I think this is a game where both teams try to shorten the game up on offense because another defense is going to do work. And it does feel like this is a dog game, right? Like the Chargers to cover this game feels like the wrong side. So if you do like a side, it'd be Houston. I like the under law in this game, under 39.5.
The Herbert rushing already in my account here for this. If you go back and kind of look over the course of the season, teams with a pulse on the defensive line, he has huge rushing games. Like, not only is he over this number of 21.5, 22.5, 23.5 that's out there, whatever, he's over it by 15, 20, 30 yards a lot of times against these teams that have good defensive lines. And so I think he's going to be running a ton, and I think this is going to be the way that that we get another bet home here. Jeff, as a former offensive lineman, these people that are much smarter than I am over on the internet, they take the Pro Football Focus, the Sports Info Solutions, and also the ESPN offensive line rankings, and they smush them all together and come together with like a composite number for all of them. The Broncos is the number one offensive line according to this composite ranking in the NFL with a composite score of 94. The Chargers is 10. Their composite score is 10.
Wow.
So that's kind of where they rank comparatively, obviously dead last. And think of another offensive line that you think is terrible. I don't know. Cincinnati's, there are 26. The Raiders, there are 24. That lets you know how bad this Chargers offensive line is. The Lions go for it and do not get it.
No, they got it.
They did? Oh, yeah, I didn't see the ball. I didn't see the ball in his hands. I guess it maybe like it fell out after he got his bell rung a little bit.
Yeah, I think he got concussed, but he caught the ball.
So yeah. Isaac Tesla, who has become a little red zone weapon for them here, gets up, makes the catch. Oh, yeah, he's concussed.
I would have pressured Goff. Penei Sewell, by the way, back in the game, so that's good news for the Lions. I would have pressured Goff. They've been doing it all game, and they just decided there to only rush four, and the Lions offensive line was able to hold up, and Tasala made the play there. So 7-7 now, and we'll get Vikings only have one timeout. I don't know how hard they're going to push Brosmer here to start this 2-minute drill. He looked like he got knocked out, but he's not with the doctor, so maybe he's fine. Maybe the wind got knocked out of him when he fell down.
Yeah, he went up, made the catch, came down. It looked like the first thing he hit was his head, but maybe not. And extra point pending here, 7-6. Guys, if you think you know sports, get paid for it with Better Picks. It's the Daily Fantasy Sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into real cash. So go in, download Better, BETR. Pick more or less of your favorite player stats, and if your picks hit, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do deposit, 50% deposit match up to $200. They got all the sports, NBA, WNBA, Major League Baseball, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go to better.app, BETR.app, or download the Better app today. Use promo code VSIN, VSIN for your free $10 and to get that deposit bonus. The extra point is up and good. We are tied at 7:106 left in the first half of this one. As I click over here, 4.5 is the live line in favor of Detroit. Our total sitting at 37.5, and that money line up to +250 if you think the Vikings pull the upset here in this one. We'll keep you updated on this game. We got another NBA game rocking and rolling out there, and of course, we'll run through the NFL slate here for week 17.